This is CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shot fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty? Huh?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man, the ad man, and we are back at it. It's been another week. It's been another dope week of advertising. Your boy is back. 7 days later. Yeah, after another week of dope things and a lot has gone down. You know, it's been one of those weeks that it's one of my favorite weeks in kind of the advertising a calendar, or like just in the general South African calendar. It's because this is where brands get to do all kinds of crazy things. You know, every time brands see like public holidays, I'm always like, oh, here we go again. Because last week we had Heritage Day, and there were some interesting things. Some people did some things that were on point. Some people did some things that made no sense at all. But yeah, it was cool, man. It was cool. I hope you had a fantastic Heritage Day. I hope that all the briefs you got, you were able to get out on time. You know, because sometimes some clients also forget that public holidays are coming, and then they give you a phone call on the day before, and they say, you know, Heritage Day is on Sunday, bro. Can't you guys like just drop like a nice post? But yeah, so huge shout out to the guys that work on social media, because we know that you guys were working. You guys, there's no. We've gone to print now, I can't do it. No. You're working on that thing up until the very last minute. In fact, during the day as well. Because I know a bunch of you also had like competitions and things that you're running. So yeah, man. So huge shout out to all you guys, doing the most, as the kids say. But yeah, it's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, and we're back at it. Hit me up. If you're following me on Facebook, on Twitter, you know I got some guests today. One of them is already here in the stew, and he's coming in on the culmination of the whole thing, and we're gonna get into that at some point. Yeah, it's a culmination of things that almost like took people to the end of their tether. Their life tether, but hopefully everyone made it out of the farewell tour alive. We'll chat more about that later. But yeah, but hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxemus, at BLAXEM on Twitter, or at CliffCentral.com, so we can chat, man. Let's chat about everything. Let's chat about everything that you've seen on TV, online, or everything ad world. There's a whole bunch of shit going down, and I think that I want to hear your opinion about it. So, speaking of kind of the Heritage Month stuff, right? Chicken Licken launched an ad last week. I think it was last week, and something tells me that it had something to do with the whole Heritage Day, Heritage Month thing. It's a Chicken Licken ad with the Icelandic kid, right? All shot in Iceland. I mean, it all makes sense. You know when you see Kolisa Tshana's photo feed, and you're like, why the fuck is he in Iceland? And then you see the ad, and you're like, oh, it makes perfect sense. So huge shout out to the homies, Kolisa Tshana, and everyone at Joe Public. Saw the ad. I thought it was really, really well shot. I thought it was, I thought the pictures looked amazing. And the storytelling was pretty cool. You know, it kind of is reminiscent of that, that Ellen Grayish storytelling style of that, the Berlin story. It kind of remind me of that, but like, you know, obviously with that quiet humor, but that it was really, really dope. I liked it. So give me, you guys should tell me your opinion about it. What did you make of that? What did you make of the storyline? The storyline of this, you know, it's that beautiful suspension of disbelief, as they call it when you're reviewing, and you're asked to make your ad better, and they said, no, just give me suspension of disbelief, and that's some of that stuff that the guys are putting in there. So I thought it was really cool. Give me your opinion. Tell me what you think of it. Tell me whether you think Tashana is smoking socks. Tell me whether you think the ad is dope or not. But I liked it. I thought it was really, really cool. It was amazing that, like, you know, they actually got to go to Iceland and shoot it there. You know, that the director didn't actually cut corners and say, no, I know a place like that. We just go to Rustenburg, just behind a little kopi, and we can recreate a town that looks just like we're in the middle of Iceland. But yeah, man, I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was really, really cool. So huge shout out to the guys at Joe Public for doing that good work. That good work that we all keep talking about. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to delay it, because this guy, he also needs to go and pack, because he needs to get the fuck up out of here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce my guest to you guys. So once again, if you followed me on social media, you'll have seen that I posted the fact that this cat is going to come hang out. And I've been trying to get this guy into the studio for a couple of weeks now. But you know, he's evasive, this man. Evasive and elusive, is this man. And if you played with him on the soccer field, you also know that he's evasive and elusive. But I got him in the studio today, in the final week. But we're going to get into the details of all that. But in the studio with me today, guys, it is none other than Mr. Mushito Ramaidi. What's up?
Hey, assalamu alaikum, the brother.
Hey, what's going on, the brother?
Man, I'm living. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Hey, like I said, man, once again, huge shout out to Chieza, guys. He's not in the studio today, but huge shout out to Chieza for making this happen. You know, he tracked you down, papa.
Yeah, yo. I mean, like you said, I was on this farewell tour, man. So the brother did try to get me out here 2 weeks ago, but it just didn't happen.
That's right.
I'm glad I came through today.
That's dope. You know, for people who don't know, for people who don't know what this farewell tour is all about, so just break it down to us. Just break it down. What is the farewell tour about? And why is it that I think a lot of soldiers are on the floor right now because of this farewell tour?
Hey man, I guess the farewell tour was just me trying to sign out and spend time with the friends of mine that I've had the opportunity of doing amazing work with, socializing with, playing football. So
that's right.
I didn't want to sneak out the country. The last time I left the country when I was 18, I sort of snuck out and people were like, oh, this guy is gone.
Yeah.
You know, so this time around, I really wanted to spend time with people that meant a lot to me.
That's dope.
And I'm glad you survived the tour, Grant. Because I think you made three appearances, right?
Hey, the tour was rigorous.
Yeah, no, the tour was tough. There's some fallen soldiers out there. But hey, man, more life to them, more life.
Yeah, man, that's dope. Yeah, no, it's been a challenging tour. And like I said, I mean, we'll unpack exactly what we mean by this tour and the finale that happened at Brown Sense. You shout out to the guys at Brown Sense. You guys are doing some big things out there. And yeah, man, much love to everybody involved at Brown Sense. We're actually going to be trying to get you guys into the studio sometime soon, just to have a bigger chat about this. But yeah, Mushito, I mean, let's just, before we get into you and everything you're going to be all about, I mean, you are nodding very hard when I'm speaking about the chicken licking ad. What do you make of it?
To be fair, I heard about it from some mates, like, and now, like, you talking about it again, as you know, my house is empty. I don't have a TV anymore.
That's right.
So, I am leaving the country in 48 hours. So to be honest with you, I haven't had the opportunity of watching the ad, but like I've been following the conversations around social media around the ad. Like,
yeah,
it's got nothing but rave reviews. Yeah.
But isn't that crazy though? Like, I mean, like, you know, you've been in this game for 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And you know how so the social media influence on stuff has actually changed the way people consume advertising, right?
Yeah.
So like, the fact that you haven't seen this ad, but you actually know a lot about it and all that. Do you think that that's one of those things that we have to be completely cognizant of? Completely, like, every time we put something together, the conversations that start around the social media before even gets to TV or while it's on TV, how important do you think that shit is?
Look, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think we should be making work to trend on social media. I think we should always be cognizant of staying authentic to the particular brand and the particular product. So I've always approached our work from an authentic point of view, and I think once you get that across, you are going to get people to talk about it.
That's right.
So I do not think being trending on social media should be
primary.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's like you're not to be making work for likes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you should be making authentic work.
Make work that people are going to talk about 10 years from now.
That's right. That's right. Guys, you guys heard it. That's the kind of hangout we're going to have today, guys. I think we're just going to be dropping truths the whole time. But it's good. We have Mr. Musito Ramaidi in the studio with us today. Hit us up. Hit us up on Facebook as well. It's Crunch Toilet. Drop me a message. And on Twitter, it's Black Summits, at BLAXEM, with whatever questions, whatever comments, whatever farewell messages you might have for the man. Everything that's about to go down in his life. But that's dope, man. That's really, really dope. So another thing that happened last week, I don't know if you know about the movie The Hangman. It was dropped by
Zweletu
Khateb. Yeah, that's right. So yeah. So he won. They won best short fiction film at the Jersey Film Festival. So huge shout out to them, niggas. You guys are doing big things, man. Yeah, I mean, have you seen the movie?
Yeah, I got the opportunity of seeing the movie before it actually launched. I mean, shout out to the brother Zweletu. That brother there, I mean, like, he holds a very special place in my heart. We did some work together when we launched Isbuy. I don't know if you remember that show,
Isbuy. Yeah.
We shot the first promo together. We did some work together on a show called Gabelo's Bootcamp back in the television there. So that brother right there is one of the most talented guys out there. So I would implore on our people to go out and support the movie.
Yeah. Huge shout out to Zweletu Khateb, doing some big things, brother. Yep. Doing some really, really big things. And so they won best short fiction film at the Jersey Film Festival. For you guys who haven't gotten a chance to go and see it, I don't know whether it's still kind of on circuit or whatever, but go check it out. Well, however you can get your hands on it, the legal way. Yeah, however you can get your hands on it, the legal way.
Legal all the way.
Come on, man. Come on. Support the brothers and go check it out, because I've seen it and I think it's a really, really dope production. Yeah. Some dope acting talent as well on that. But, you know, also testament to kind of the big crew. So, yeah, man. Yeah, man. Guys doing big things out there. Not just, you know, for me, it's always important how, you know, the people that we encounter in kind of the ad world, people we shoot commercials with, and every now and then just kind of remind us of kind of the broad spectrum of the talents that they have.
Yeah.
And not just see them as commercial directors. How important do you think that is?
I think it's very important. I mean, just to step back, I think, and as a black guy, having played in the game, being in the game, I think we're actually living in a golden generation of South African black advertising.
That's
right. For a long time, we've had like little pockets of brilliance, but now I think it's the first time I've been around like where like there's so many guys that are doing amazing work.
That's so dope, man. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how Sunu Konera, you know, had just cleaned up at the Lurie's.
Yeah.
And in fact, I saw on his feed, I think he's directing a couple of episodes of Madam Secretary. That's insane shit. So huge shout out to Mr. Sunu Konera out there. I mean, big things on big things on big things.
Man, big things are happening. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And you're absolutely right. It does feel like we're existing in like this golden generation of advertising that we shouldn't let fuck out.
Yeah.
You know, that's the important part.
And for the first time, I feel like we're the custodians of our own storytelling. You know, for a long time.
That's right.
We've had people that have just been co-signing some mediocre work, you know, people that spend an afternoon in the township and call it an immersion, and then like you see the work that's on TV or the radio spots that we hear. So it's really the first time in a while where the guys that are signing off the work are black guys, the guys that are presenting is black guys, and we're all authentic to our culture. Like, I mean, you look at the movies being made, Hangman, like for example. So there's just a lot of great excellence going around, and like I think we the baton has been passed on to us in terms of telling our stories in the right way.
That's so dope, man. Yeah. That's so dope, and it's too true. Yeah. I think that's absolutely. I told you guys that's the kind of hangout we're gonna be having here today.
Yeah.
Just truths and no filters, guys. Hashtag no filter.
No filter. I've actually never used that before. No filter. No filter. I only see it on social media, but I never thought I was cool enough to, you know, to add to those words.
You're here, Papa. You're here. You're sitting out here at clipcentral.com and radio and uncensored. No filter, bro.
Yes,
no
sir.
Filter.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Dope. But funny you should talk about the baton being passed, because something else has just happened in the ad industry in this past week. So Jupiter Drawing Room has officially closed down. Right,
yeah.
So I saw an article that says shout out to the guys at Mark Lives for keeping us abreast of all the stuff. So Jupiter is closing down, and a group called an agency now called Black Powder.
Okay.
Has been given the baton. I don't know if you know the guys Gugu Madlala and Sizwe Khumalo. The guys out there at Black Powder. They say Black Powder and as in gunpowder.
Okay.
So you can only know that these guys are up to some big things. But yeah, so essentially like the institution that is the Jupiter Drawing Room closing down after some very, very tough months behind them. But obviously handing over to the guys at Black Powder.
Yeah.
And I know that some of the accounts that the guys have that Jupiter had are now going to be in the hands of the guys at Black Powder / Gunpowder, as what they call themselves, which is a big step on its own, right? Like here these two black guys who are about to essentially take on. You know, I think maybe the legacy of Jupiter may be too much to take on, but taking on this large step in order to kind of create another platform for us to tell our stories.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I mean, and I could be wrong, but I think that's where our industry is headed to a certain extent, where it's gonna be the small boutique guys, you know, that are gonna be entrusted like telling our stories. So yeah, massive responsibility on the guys. But like, I mean, we wish them all the best.
Yeah,
and, like,
man.
I mean,
yeah,
we're gonna
man.
Be on the lookout, and we definitely are gonna hold them accountable, right? So like, we're not dropping
the ball. And that's the part. That's the big part, right? Yeah. The accountability part.
Yeah,
man. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the guys do. Once again, Cheza is gonna hunt these guys down, and we're gonna get them in the stew, and we're gonna get to understand their story and what they're gonna be about. So huge shout out to the guys Cizwe and Gugu out there at Black Powder doing big things, and we'll be excited to see about that. And another thing that's just gone down is the Pendoring finalists have just been announced. Right, so I always find it funny, and you are huge congratulations to everybody who's just made it onto the Pendoring's list. Well done, and we look forward to the day to see who won. But once again, you know, guys have been posting the amount of finalists that they have, which I always find is a risky thing, because it happened to people now at Lurie's.
Yeah.
You know, people now at Lurie's are posting, or you know, they got 100 and Mang Mang finalists, and then they converted 4. You know what I mean?
as a striker, that's a bad conversion rate, you know. But like, I guess you know, excitability, you know,
that's
like
right.
I guess, you know, at the end of the day, like, I mean, we always say like you look at the 100 meter race, like, I mean, you send Bolt dominant for so long. So, like, I mean, the fact that the guys did get some recognition in terms of being recognized, making a final, so, like, I mean, it's a big deal, you
absolutely.
Know. Like, but you're right, you know, social media does present its own dangers where, you know, people are doing this for their likes, people are trying, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, like, I mean, I always earn the side of caution, you know. I'm like, I try and make noise once the deal has been clinched, you know.
I'm with you on this one. I'm absolutely with you on this one. It's always a bit weird to kind of leap and then, like, oh, man. Also because of what awards are like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a crazy thing. I mean, for those of you who don't know, well, I mean, we're going to get into like, Musita's story in a little bit. But, like, you can tell with all the sports references, like, this cat, like, pretty much everything can be linked back to some kind of sports metaphor.
Yeah.
And it's always amazed me that you're able to do this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said that football is a metaphor of life for me, you know. Like, I mean football, like, is the ultimate aggregator, you know. Like, you look at, like, guys like Diego or Cristiano Ronaldo. So, like, I mean I've always tried to use football as a reference.
That's right. And that's cool, man. That's cool. Yeah, no, we're gonna get into that. Don't you worry. We're gonna get all up in that. So huge shout out to the Pendoring finalists.
Yeah.
Guys, Musito's hanging out with me. I'm even gonna hand you guys the number. You guys, if you wanna give us a phone call, you wanna chat to the man, the number's 0861-555-189. It's 0861-555-189. Hit us up. Give us a phone call. Chat to the man. 48 hours, like you said. 48 hours and he's out. Hmm? He was there. the tour's done. And he's ready to move on to big things.
Yeah.
But I actually want to get into it now. You know, I want to get into kind of, you know, the guy that's sitting in front of me right now. You know, I think, you know, a lot of the time we get into boardrooms for those of the people who meet you there.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of wonder, you know, the story that inspires the man who's sitting across from you in the boardroom, and how colorful that background must be in order for someone to end up, you know, in the place that you're at.
Yeah.
But you've worked at, like, some of South Africa's, like, most iconic brands.
Yeah. I mean, I started my career, came back in the country 2010, and I actually got my job as the funniest thing ever. Like, there's also a soccer linked to that. But started off my career at KFC.
As an
internship. I'd initially come back to the country to enjoy the World Cup, and then I saw some job posting asking about what's your favorite ad, and then I referenced that old classic Castle Lager ad, the guys in New York City, and I told the guys, you know, I could relate because I was away for a few years.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got my break at KFC Yum Brands.
Oh, that's dope.
My first.
Huge shout out to the guys at KFC. Yeah, what's up?
Huge shout out to KFC.
Yeah.
I mean, and my brief day initially was we're about to launch BAP. So I mean, my claim to fame is that I'm the guy that launched BAP at KFC. Cause
were you the guy who launched BAP pizza?
Yeah, no, not BAP pizza. No. I'd gone. I jumped ship.
We have found him. The person who launched BAP pizza is here in the studio with us today.
We gave South Africa BAP for $10.99. I'm proud of that. I mean, I've been very fortunate to work for like you said. Started off at KFC, so I was there for 2 years. One of my biggest projects as well, we signed the KFC Mini Cricket.
I was fortunate enough to
bring cricket to the kids in the township because, you know, the relationship with Baker's had fallen away. So I was at KFC for 2 years. I did some amazing work there. I don't know if you remember the old Scop ad.
Yes, I remember that with Sanele Nguban. Who shot at Mr. Sanele, what's up?
Sanele, what's up, my brother? I mean, iconic piece of work. And then after that, I moved to Mnet. Mnet had just launched Mzansi Magic.
Right.
I don't know if you remember Mzansi
Magic.
I was a brand manager there. I mean, for me, that I probably always refer to that as like the greatest time in my career because we were forced under the responsibility of making responsible black television.
That's television
that black people could gravitate towards, you know. And then the first piece of work that we did was a show done by the Bomb called Isibaya.
Right. Shout out to the guys at Bomb Productions. What's up?
What up, Bomb? So I mean, like, worked at Mnet. Did some amazing work there. Like, I mean, if you look at Mnet now, especially Mzansi Magic, like, they own television on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
So, like, I can always look back and say, you know, I was fortunate enough to be part
That's
of that
so
journey.
So dope, man.
Yeah, man. Great work there. Like, amazing shows that we worked on. Isibaya, Perfect Wedding.
Yeah.
All these iconic shows that are part of people's lexicon. You know what I mean?
That's amazing. Because, I mean, it's funny because you spoke about that accountability earlier, right?
Yeah.
That it's almost like you're handed this baton of accountability.
Yeah.
And how tough was that era, or how tough or easy was it in order to kind of, because like at that time, Mnet, kind of the association is that it's paid TV.
Yeah.
And it's not for black folk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How tough or easy was that?
Look. It's two things, right? I mean, initially it was, as a creative, it was awesome because like we were working off a blank slate, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, the briefs that we were sending out to production companies and the guys were coming up with like some
crazy
exciting
shit
you know? But then I remember when we first presented Isibaya to the guys upstairs at Mnet at Bram Fisher, like they were scared, you know, like there were guns everywhere, taxi violence, because
not much has changed.
Yeah,
it's,
you know,
all
like,
still up there.
Like they didn't want to ruffle feathers, like they didn't want to portray black people, you know, like the stereotype, but they were like, guys, if we're trying to get eyeballs on Channel 161, like we need to tell these stories, like as honest and as responsible as possible. So I think we're fortunate in the sense that Mnet, the guys upstairs, they let us go with
That's
it, you
right.
know what I mean? And like we really pushed the creative envelope, you know, like, and I think it wouldn't happen anywhere else besides Mnet. But that being said, like it was tough because we knew we were going to be accountable to millions and tons of people on social media. Like if we got it wrong, it would have been terrible.
It would have blown up in your face.
Would have been those guys like that messed it up. But like I'm glad it's worked out.
That's
dope,
man. And worked out it has. I mean, like you said, I mean, Sunday evening on Mzansi Magic is like an institution. And obviously there's always the pressure of like how do you keep that going?
Yeah.
You know, and how was it? Did you always feel like you were under pressure to either like keep growing the stuff that you have or to constantly get more content in order to tell the story?
I mean, with this part, and I mean, like, I think Desiree and the guys at Bomber also tell, like, it started because, like, now, like, we had created a monster, right? Like, because initially it was a telenovela, 224 episodes.
All right.
But it did so well that then the business was like, hey, we want more. And
then
not only did they want more, they wanted more Isibaya-like shows, you know what
All
I mean?
So,
like,
right.
And then, like, we're doing shows like Zabalaza.
Yeah.
Then the Bomber obviously came with Ayeye, which is also, like, a legendary show. So
huge shout out to the guys who worked on Ayeye. I mean, come on,
come on, I saw a young Grant Sitola at Cameo there. Come on, the brother.
I told my Cameo, my man. You know, just never know which one of your talents might ignite, Nick.
Yeah, man. But I think what's stood that business in great stead is that they have a guy called Nkateko Mabako. You know, like
huge shout out, Nkateko. Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, so Nkateko, young black guy, and like very consumer centric, so like he understands like the kind of audience that we're trying to make television for. So I think it was scary at first, but then like we almost got into a place where we're comfortable with the kind of work that we're doing because we could see the numbers are resonating.
That's insane, man.
Yeah, man.
That's insane. So how long were you there? How long were you in Mnet?
So I was at Mnet for, so I've actually have this 2 year fascination. Like after 2 years, I always move on because I always feel like, you know, like I need to, like, you know, like get refreshed, get into new things. So I was at Mnet. Wow. I was only there for 2 years, but like in those 2 years, like the body of work felt like I was there for over a decade. So yeah.
Yeah.
The brother.
That's dope, man. Yeah. I'm fascinated by that. Do you think that, like, after a 24-month period, like, for you, does it feel like that's the time for you to, like, go and find new challenges?
Yeah, I've always felt that way. I've always felt like I need to move once it stops feeling like when the juice almost starts feeling like it's running away.
Yeah, then it's time when it starts getting comfortable.
Yeah, like, and I mean, I guess we're at a point in our lives where we're young enough to move. Like, we're not, like, I mean, in our parents' generation, like, guys would pride themselves in being in a company for 20 years.
That's right,
but
yeah.
There's no glory in not, like, trying to explore, like, other, like, because we're such dynamic people, right?
Yeah,
you know, I'm like, so try to explore as many of your passions as possible.
I think a lot of us know about that. You know, like, when you tell your folks you're about to leave a job, they're like, where are you going?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm the worst example of that shit because I was at FCB for, what, 11 years? The other brother is here in the studio. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
I was at FCB for like 11 years, and it took me like leaving that to go into another space to kind of go, yeah, man. Yeah. You know, there is something pretty cool about that refreshing. You know, about hitting the refresh button because it kind of keeps you on your toes as well.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. So 2 years and then right after that.
And then after that, I got a call from Nike. I mean, like, if you know my passion for sports, you
know,
and like they had this opportunity for me to take it. Like I said, like leaving Mnet was tough, but then like. It's not every day you get a collar from Nike.
That's
like,
right.
You presented an opportunity. Like, I mean, like, my first pair of shoes that I bought with my own money when I was 11 were a pair of Nike Air Pegasus, you know?
Oh, that's dope.
So I left a space that I was very comfortable and happy in to pursue a dream because, like, football for me and sports in general, like, that's what I pride myself in. Like, that's where I draw, like, the most joy out of life.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, like, do you think that that was always the job you were angling for? Do you think that, like, you know, like, even kind of when you started off, you know, selling drumsticks at KFC, that you were always angling for that Nike job?
I've always known I was gonna end up in Nike.
Okay.
And the weirdest thing is when I actually got my job, my mom called me. She's like, "Dude, do you realize when you're 11 years old, you said that one day you're gonna work for Nike?" So
it was so dope.
Yeah.
Man.
So it was a realization of a childhood dream. Like, I mean, like, not too many people can say like they got to realize it. Like, I mean, so like for me, I felt like my journey was always gonna drive me to football. Like in terms of wearing football, I didn't know if I was gonna work for an association or a club.
Yeah.
But then I definitely wanted to be involved.
So
with
dope, man.
Swoosh. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so tell me about the first day you walk into Nike. So like here's this place that you've been dreaming of since you were 11 years old, and you know, what was that like? What was that feeling like?
Jesus, like a kid in a candy store for the first time. And, like, I got there, like people are wearing like cool ass sneakers, you know, like, and it's just sports talk, you know, like, people talk like the weekend sports result, and then like at lunchtime, like all these athletes are walking in.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Like, damn, like, this is it. This is, you don't have to pay me. Yo, I can hang out here for free, you know. So, it was awesome. It was awesome. Like, I mean, I still remember that day. Like, like it happened yesterday.
That's so dope. Yeah. And I mean, I think that, you know, it obviously makes your job easy.
Yeah.
You know, to wake up every morning and go to a place that you know, that you feel like that about. You know, so like, and whether it's advertising or whether you're on the client side, to have the passion for it. Because I guess that's what makes you be able to put yourself into the work as well, which you've done it, and you've been part of like a few programs with Nike that are obviously close to your heart. Talk to us about some of those.
So actually when I first joined Nike, I joined Nike Running.
And
then I had to deliver what is now called the Nike Run Club. So the Nike Run Club was my
with the home tour.
So we started Nike Run Club. Initially started off with like 20 runners. So now I see like they gain like 220 runners every Tuesday and Thursday. But I think from a legacy point of view, starting Nike Academy, Football Academy at the Soweto Football Training
that
Center.
That is dope, man.
For me, like, I mean, I walk away and saying like I played a part in terms of, like creating a platform for young football players in South Africa.
That's insane.
So Nike Academy, it came from a... we saw a gap in the football space, in the sense that like kids between the ages of 17 or 16 to 19, if they're not part of a setup like a KC or Orlando Pride,
yeah.
like, they get lost in the system.
That's right.
Like, we
that's
want
right.
to create a platform where these kids get to play against these other academies, and then we get to invite scouts to watch these kids play. And I mean, we've only been running since March, but then to date, we have 3 kids that have signed professional contracts.
You Get
know?
The fuck out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, man. Like, one of our boys, Diego De Santos, he just signed at SuperSport 2 weeks ago.
Huge shout out. Huge shout out. Dude, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's massive, man. Like, I mean, like, you see, like, the joy that it brings to these kids, like, getting to be coached by Arthur Zwane and Stanton Fredericks, you know? Like, in every other day, Bafana pops into train. Like, I mean, when Keegan Dolly came, they're like, I mean, like, it was like Christmas for those kids. So I take pride in the sense that, like, we got to, like, give these kids a platform that would have otherwise not existed.
That's amazing shit,
and
man.
That's the beauty of football, and
man. Yeah. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to rewind it all the way back because of, you know, we're talking about your relationship with football and all that. And how I guess that was a part of the reason why you snuck out of the country.
Yeah.
When you were 18, right?
Yeah.
So like, in fact, I've heard a couple of versions of this story.
Yeah.
Were you raised in Mafikeng or in Lesotho? Which one is it?
So my parents were both born in Lesotho.
Ah, okay.
But they both moved to the Obu Putatswana. So
I
was born in Mafutan, born and raised in Mafutan, but I always claim Lesotho. Like, I'm from the, you know.
We had this conversation
Yeah. I always rap it hard, but my accent always gives it away. That I'm from the Northwest, man.
That's right.
Yeah. So for me to have left the country.
Yeah.
When I was 18, I was part of the Jomo Sono Academy, Jomo Cosmos rather.
Okay.
Then I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship, a football scholarship, to go study in the US.
Ah, dope.
I went to school at Alabama A&M in the Deep South.
Yeah.
Imagine a kid from Mafikeng going all the way to Alabama. So I was fortunate enough to get a football scholarship. And then when I was there, so the great thing with the Americans on a scholarship is that in order for you to maintain that athletic scholarship, your academics have to make sense as well. So, like, you have to maintain a 3.0 GPA. So I studied marketing. So, like, that's how I got it. Yeah, so that's where the passion of, the creative. I mean, I feel like I'd always been a creative, but you know what I mean? So, like, but then to be honest with you, like, I thought I was going to be a football star. And then, like, you know what they always say? Have something to fall back on. Because my mom is an academic. My mom is a professor at UNISA. So there was no way I was just going to be playing football. So likely for me, I was able to juggle my athletic obligations as well as studying. So I left the country to go study. Initially, I was supposed to be there for 4 years.
Yeah.
As soon as I graduated, I moved to the West Coast, to Oakland. So I sort of hung around there just for 10 years.
For 10 years.
Yeah. And then God for the World Cup. That's why I came back. So if we hadn't had the World Cup, I'd still be away. It feels like it's full circle now. So this
Absolutely,
time around,
man.
I'm going back. Like, I'm a lot more mature, obviously, all these years of experience in the space that I've been able to work in.
Yeah, so full circle. The man's going back to the US. It's amazing. I mean, it must be like you're going back home to your other home.
Yeah, look, I mean, the boys always chirp me. Like, I mean, they've always chirped that I'm not South African enough. It's like, I'm not suited enough. I'm not from Africa.
Yeah, exactly.
So I feel like I'm a nomad, you know. Net Nakas, the man of no land. So, yeah, it does feel like I'm going to a place where that's very familiar. I'm familiar with the culture.
That's right.
Like, you know, I've got friends. So, yeah.
That's so dope, man. Yeah. Well, you know what, bro? I just think, oh, Cheese just arrived. Hi, Cheese. How you doing?
Hi,
dope. I just feel like it's such an inspiring story, man. You know, I mean, you speak about you drop little notes, like, you know, imagine a little kid from Mafikeng all the way to the US, and also just kind of imagining somebody who kind of drops in on the game in 2010 and in 2015 you're like at the helm at one of the most important brands in the sports world.
Yeah.
I guess it's always a story of what's possible, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, like, you know, like, I always try to say to these kids, like, your dreams are actually attainable, you know?
Yeah.
You have to put yourself in a position to attain those dreams, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, like, gone are the days where people thought that because I'm from such a small town, like, I can't do this, you know? Like,
exactly.
We put all these hurdles in front of ourselves. So, like, I want to say I'm living testament that you can achieve your dreams. Like, you can, like, work for these corporates that are supposed to be out of our grasp, you know?
Yeah, man. Like, I'm loving the sound of that. Yeah. And you know what? I actually think that's a good point for us to bring in our other guests, because, you know, it is all about that. And for me, it's always been important to be able to tell stories of what's possible, you know? And in the studio with me today, guys, well, the other person I told you guys is going to be showing up is here. Mr. Ntsako Mitenda has showed up in the studio. What's going on, bro? Yeah? Are you good? Come closer to the mic. You good there?
Yeah, I'm great.
All right. This is also what Ntsako does, guys. You show up at 11 o'clock looking like you just came off a runway. All the fucking time. Ntsako, you can't be a supermodel all the damn time, Nick.
Hashtag is supermodel Ntsako Mitenda.
There we go. There it is. So how goes it, bruv? How goes it with you?
It goes well, man.
Yeah, what have you been up to? What did we pull you out of?
You pull me out of the runway at any given time. Yeah.
but exactly to the point that I was making earlier with Musito, right? Like how important has it been for you to kind of believe that anything and everything is possible?
It's very, very important.
Yeah.
And that's always what I try to give back to people that are non-believers or people that are struggling with things, to say that it's very important for you to believe that what you want to do and what you think possible is possible and it can actually happen.
That's just so dope. Because it always feels like, especially when you're much younger, it always feels like words. You know, it always feels like, hey, these adults coming here telling me dreams are possible and all that shit. Until you actually start to be around it, you know, until you start seeing what's possible. So tell us what some of the everyone out there, I know some of the stuff you're involved in. What are some of the things that you're up to right now? Outside of being on every street pole ad, talking about the polo.
What Ntsako Mitenda does is that I'm a model, I'm a stylist, I'm a creative director.
Yeah.
I also am founder and director of a model agency, Raw Africa Models.
That's what's up.
Based in Soweto, for Soweitans, for black kids, to make it possible.
That's dope. You know? But whereabouts in Soweto are you guys based? Are you guys one of those people that are always in a van stopping kids on the side of the road?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's part of the process. You know, but I have identified a premise where I'm going to be building Raw Africa Models
that
my models can point at it and say that is home and that's where we're taking care of. But however, Raw Africa Models has been functional.
Yeah.
It has been doing incredible things. We've been doing shows exclusively. We've been supplying production houses for TV commercials exclusively.
Yeah, man.
You know, so we have been doing incredible stuff.
Hey, you guys are working, guys. Everybody out there doing some shit. You know what I mean? I think that's really, really dope. I feel like it's those inspiring stories. I mean, kind of mashing with what I've been talking to Musito about.
Yeah.
Of making people feel like there's this golden generation of people, which is what Musito touched on.
Mm.
That is not about to wait on anybody, and that has actually just been passed the baton to kind of do big things. How important do you think taking that responsibility as a big deal is in order to kind of make everyone go, hey guys, take it seriously, we're on some other shit right now? How important it is for us to take that responsibility seriously?
It's very important because it's difficult for some people to be able to attain things or for some people to get involved in other things,
and other worlds just seem like they don't belong to us, you know what
absolutely.
I mean, which is the point you're making.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, our people have been apologetic for too long, you know. So now we're like, fuck, we're coming for everything.
That's
you know?
What's up.
Like,
you know?
We're coming for everything. Yes.
Yeah, man. That's really, really inspiring. Guys, once again, I'm hanging out with Ntsako and Musito in the studio right now. Hit me up. It's at Blexem, at BLAXEM on Twitter, on CliffCentral.com on Twitter as well. And I gave you guys a phone number. Give us a phone call. If you want to know about the tour, guys, that fucking tour, it's always 61555-189. Yeah, niggas have fallen to the wayside when it comes to that stuff. But now tell me now, Ntsako, I want to ask you about things like how do you find yourself getting involved with things like the polo? Is it all kind of, you know, just being the model of it, or are there other associations that you have with some of those institutions?
You know, it's always weird how with every campaign that I shoot as a model, I end up getting involved.
That's what's up.
As though I am, you know, I was part of its birth.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was just called up to be the model because, hey, supermodel Ntsako Mitenda. And I was like, yo, I mean, it's the Prince of Wales polo and I'm going in.
That's what's up.
So I get there and the lady Khumutso, who runs the whole polo, was there, and we had chats and everything. But the intention was not for me to seem as though I am part of that campaign.
That's right.
Post just being a model.
Yeah.
But because I believe in myself as supermodel Ntsako Mtende, and because I push that all the time, it became as though
I'm a big part of it.
I'm a really big part of it,
yeah.
Which I really wasn't.
Yeah.
But I mean, and I believe that I did a lot of work for them.
Yeah.
And also, I got a lot of traction into what I do as
well.
Yeah. In fact, right now, because I don't have representation, I used to be a boss model before, which was a big deal. And I mean, I thank God because they really took care of me.
Yeah.
But now, because conflict of interest, I'm no longer represented by any other agency.
Except Rob.
I represent myself as Rafrika Models.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
So for me to get such big campaigns and be part of these kind of things is just another stamp onto how possible it is to do it by yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
I've been asking people that are doing great things, resourceful people to manage me, because I'm like, you know what? I need a manager. I probably can't do it on my own anymore. But it seems that all the work that I've put in the years,
it's actually paying off.
It's paying off.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Even when I opened Rafrika Models, I was a bit scared with my business partner Banele Reo.
Yeah. Oh, shout out Banele Reo. We're coming for everything.
Even when we started it, and he was on my case all the time, because this was an idea that was born about 10 years ago. We were at a party, and these kids were having like a young fashion show, young designers. And it was all just play, because we were just like, okay. It was a time where I used to be a model at Edge Modeling Management about 10 years ago, during my tertiary days. And then so Banele was like, okay, listen, let's play a game here.
Yeah.
You say you're a model scout, and then I'm the model agency owner. Because there was this young kid trying to be models and stuff like that.
And then we ran with it. No, that's the person he's telling us that this is about the models. We all know it was about the girls, right?
No, it was definitely about the girls.
You and Manolo were like, I'll tell you how we can get these girls.
Yeah.
You tell them.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. But, you know, post that, we just realized that also, well, this is a possibility for something bigger.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And I postponed it for a long time, but Manolo was always on my case.
I'm saying,
dude, you need to do this. You need to do this. But I think when I was ready, it just happened naturally.
That's so dope, man.
You know, because a friend of mine, Brett Rogers, also a supermodel. Yeah. Shout out to Brett Rogers.
Shout out Brett Rogers. What's going on?
He was involved with a Swedish denim brand called Nudie Jeans.
Yeah.
The first denim brand to produce salvaged denims, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So they were working on a campaign called Making Waves. And they were identifying South African brothers that are doing incredible things in South Africa.
Right.
So because I had mentioned to Brett that I'm starting a modeling agency, Rafrika Models, and this is my idea and whatnot. And he remembered because he also believed that this was such an incredible idea to start a model agency in Soweto.
It's so dope, man.
You know, by a person that's also been in the industry and understands the industry and will be able to take care of this talent, you know what I mean? So he mentioned it to Nudie Jeans, and then I was approached, and I was also then recognized as one of the people that are making waves in South Africa, according to Nudie Jeans.
Yeah.
I mean, amongst the likes of Adam Levy and Tristan Duplessis.
That's a big deal.
Superbulous. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
It's just like, what? No. But then because of that, it forced me to take even bigger steps towards building Rafrika Models.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud
That's dope.
The fact that I took that initiative.
That's really dope. I mean, you say that now, that they say that to you, and you got nervous. You know, you got no. Not me. And I guess I want to ask you as well, Mosito. I mean, how often do we see around us like people who should be taking on these opportunities, and don't actually take on them because of the fear. You know, the fear of heights, as I like to call it. You know, you're kind of going, damn it, is it me? Am I ready to take on this thing? I mean, how often? I'm sure you've encountered that quite a few times in your space.
I mean, I see it a lot. I mean, like in the creative space as well. Like, I mean, you see guys that are just, they want to be part of a team. They want to take the lead because they're like, you know what? Like, maybe I don't have it. You know what
that's
I mean?
Right.
Like, you know
that's what right.
Like, a friend of mine yesterday, Kaiser, was telling me, like, you know, like, all these things start with self-belief, you know, I'm like, if you're not going to believe that you have what it takes, you know what I mean, to catapult yourself to the next step, then, like, they're just gonna leave you like be there.
So yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah. Like I'm saying, like a lot of this stuff is also like maybe it's inherent, maybe it's cultural because yeah. you know, like back in the old days, our mothers and aunts and about us, you know,
exactly,
you know,
yeah,
just be timid, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
you know?
That's exactly it,
and
right?
Then, yeah, mm. and then you juxtapose that maybe. You look at African Americans, like I would tell you, like he's the best in the world, and he probably hasn't even sold more than 5 records.
Yeah, it's a self-belief thing.
So like us Africans, like we put these stumbling blocks in front of us. Yeah. Like I mean, it's a mental block that I think.
Because and you're absolutely right. It's almost like we have in our culture the whole thing. Yeah, don't go too far ahead because how ka wa mo? You know what I mean?
How ka, you know what I mean?
Everyone is already projecting already. And then how to you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of blocks us, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you a greater example. A friend of Jabu, you know, we play football and he's at BMW now doing amazing things.
Yeah.
When we went to Alabama together, I mean, his mom was a domestic worker and I remember like when we came back home to visit the for the summer.
Yeah.
His mom was like, "What's wrong with that? Go block you, because I thought you're gonna embarrass us. Come out to
right, I hear
and
you.
And then she's like, "Now I see like you're flourishing." She's like, "Now I'm releasing you, you know." So that's what absolutely. I'm saying. It goes back to like,
sure,
we inhibit ourselves. Yeah. You know? Like that's what I'm saying. Like we don't believe we've got like what these other people have been doing for years. You know?
Absolutely.
So, like, yeah.
Absolutely.
So it is a self-belief thing. So like we need to like break that
so
shackle,
dope.
Those mental shackles that we have.
Yo,
yeah.
That's ridiculous. And I'm sure you see a lot of that around you as well. I mean, not only do you work in kind of the modeling space, but you also like encounter a lot of actors and a lot of people on film.
Yeah.
How and is it the same way? Do you feel like you encounter people who have the same issue that we're talking about?
I do actually. Some of the talent that I model also came from that kind of space where they did not believe Jorge, they have this talent.
Yeah,
but because I guess it's my destiny to be able to recognize talent and assist it get recognized and flourish.
Yeah.
I'd always encourage that. No man, it's don't even think of it. In a sense that you're gonna blow up too much and you might not be able to handle it, or if you get too far ahead, you might fall. And but my thing is, it's you must fall.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, and I was actually gonna get into that. I was gonna ask Musita the same thing about failures, right? Because those things are important as fuck for people to understand, because like you know, especially when you have a story that inspires a lot of people, those people just think that it's just been plain sailing.
Yeah.
You know, everyone just thinks, you have just been like on this big trajectory, and nothing weird or bad has ever happened for you to kind of you know look around you.
Yeah.
And do you have any significant ones, Musita, that you can remember?
Yeah. I mean, I'll use my personal experience when I was still at KFC Yum Brands, like I mean I fluffed the 2 million rand ad, you know? and I remember the CMO Nikki Lawson, Nikki Rule now, she come into office and I mean I thought it was curtains. I mean I was
an
intern, and they'd given me this responsibility, and then she's like, you know what, this thing's gonna take you far because you need to fail big, you know.
So
you just fail big and then you know like jump from there. But then like the problem is if you fail big a lot more times, you know what I mean? So like I remember that lesson, you know what I mean? Like I'm like fuck, you know, like I just bombed something that career limiting
shit.
You know,
like,
so I have failed big before, like I mean it's happened countless times. So like it is about the Yankees always say bounce back ability, you know what I mean? Able to come back from those big blunders.
I think that's so important.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I think a lot of people just think that this thing was easy for this guy, you know, came out of straight out of the US and flourished.
Yeah.
But the little things that happen in between are build your character to get to that other place. And you know what? For me, I feel like it's those are the lessons that we actually have to surround ourselves with as a people, you know, in order to kind of teach the people around us as well. But it's not necessarily the end of this entire thing. And I think both you cats have been doing some amazing things that like fuck must be inspiring some kids out there. Now let's get into this. I want to get into that film and kind of acting space in Taco that you spoke to me about. Tell us more about that. What's your influence in that space?
Well, mostly, I'm also dabbling in a bit of acting.
Right.
I've featured in a few series in South Africa.
Yeah.
I've got talent that's doing amazing work on TV, starting to flourish as well.
Yeah.
Bong Andaba, we have.
Yeah. Huge shout out Bong Andaba. He's out there. He's out there on the couch.
You know, and, he's doing great things, and not only under Raw Africa Models, but also under another talent management agency that is under. But the acting space is incredible. I have ideas. I've spoken to you about ideas, which we can't reveal at the moment.
Yeah, no, not just yet. Not just yet.
not as yet.
Yeah.
But the space is incredible. But I also feel like there's so much room for improvement.
Yeah.
If only we could just really open up. If only we could just really look outside.
Yeah.
And bring it back in here.
That's right.
Because the talent is incredible.
That's
in South
beautiful.
Africa.
That's beautiful.
And we also need to open spaces. We need to open
Physical spaces?
Physical spaces.
Yeah, so like buildings.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need to open physical spaces and buildings to influence and encourage talent in film and acting.
That's dope. Yeah,
so that's I really want to be. I want to be in the forefront of those kind of things.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So for that reason, you guys don't know, but we're going to be seeing Zacho a whole lot more, or hearing from Zacho a whole lot more on the show.
Yes.
So periodically he's going to be coming in here, telling us what he's up to, telling us what these physical spaces that he's building are going to be about, and also just another eye into the other side of the creative spaces that actually influence how we do advertising, branding, and communication in this country. So the show is about to pop off a little bit more. Than what it has been. So I mean, this is an unofficial welcome to him, because we're going to be seeing, hearing from him a whole lot more.
Thank you.
But also now, I mean, you don't understand how much I hate how this fucking hour flies by. Because it's almost done, right? And we just had a really low key celebration of the man's work. In Musito Ramaili, in all the work that he's, amazing shit that he's done in this country for advertising, for branding, and for sports, and essentially just for inspiring a whole bunch of young people. So I mean the brother, I mean, you, like you said, 48 hours from now you're gonna be out of here.
Yeah.
How does that feel? How does it feel to be out of here? And what last thing do you want to hand us before you get out of here?
To be fair, it feels very surreal, but I feel very fulfilled, because I feel like in the years that I've been back home, like, I've been able to, I guess, make some sort of impact, or have been part of a generation of guys that have made amazing work.
That's right.
I think we'll always refer back to some of the things that happened, like, in this space of time that I've been here. But that being said, very excited about going on, because I do know that I want to leave a mark elsewhere in the world, you know. So it's a great opportunity for me to, like, earn my stripes elsewhere. No pun there, because I'm a Suge guy.
I left it alone. You see, I left it alone.
Yeah, you left it alone. Yeah. I mean, it's a great opportunity for me to go to a city where they say if you make it there, you can literally make it anywhere. So, like, I'm a firm believer in always coming back home to plow back at the little skills that I've gained elsewhere. So
Too dope, man. Too dope. Yeah. Guys, that's it. That's the hour. That's the hour. We got to say goodbye to one legend, but also we just welcomed another into the stew. So this is the beginning of dope things for both all three of us in this stew, actually, because you know we're all kind of turning a page of some kind.
Yeah.
But guys, dope hangout. Thanks for coming out, guys. That was your boy, that G-Man the Ad Man. We just had a really, really dope show. Get the podcast, play it around the studio, play it in your car, on your way to meetings, play it on the way back from church, you know, because there were a lot of truths that were spoken out here.
Great stuff. And
we didn't actually swear too much, so you can play it for your moms.
Shout out to We're Coming For Everything.
Shout out to
supports all of this. Supports Rafika Models, supports.
That's right.
The beginning of new things coming, and
Musito's coming for everything, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But man, guys, fantastic show today. And like I say every week, I mean, take care of, most importantly, take care of yourselves, take care of those briefs, but most importantly, take care of each other. Because it's rough out there, and it gets hella rough out there. So that's really, really important to me. And once again, like we say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. Boom!
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shot fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man,
is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
This is clipcentral.com.